Welcome to this special series of Farmers Inside Track, where we're exploring the key insights from the Autumn 2025 APSA AgriTrends Report. In today's episode, APSA's expert economists Marlene Lowe, Kensani Mashimbi and Zama Sangweni join Food for Mzansi co-founder Ivor Price to discuss the future of South Africa's high-value agricultural exports, from citrus and macadamias to table grapes. We'll explore what's next for these key industries.
So South Africa's high-value industries had a particularly strong 2024, with notable trends in citrus, nuts, table grapes. I'm wondering what's next, and we're going to break this down. It's from the latest Autumn 2025 edition of the APSA AgriTrends Report. Marlene, overall 2024 was a good year for high-value exports. Maybe just give us a clearer picture. Which industries saw the biggest gains?
Yeah, I think good performance, or at least a strong rebound in most industries. So citrus, we performed well. Macadamias, there was a strong recovery, better actually than we've anticipated. The grape season progressed fairly well. I think that's a story of improved prospects within key markets such as Europe, but then also our logistical system that is not performing where it should be yet, but there's been definite improvements. Yeah, we need to acknowledge those improvements, because some of them weren't necessarily by virtue of a port performing better, but simply by a supply chain being more agile. So it's definitely something to acknowledge and that we find encouraging in terms of the industry and how resilient it is. So across the board, I think 2024 was a good year, or at least a strong recovery year for our export crops.
Were there any unexpected challenges?
Yes. So I think a lot of the structural issues that we've been facing over the last five odd years have remained. The ports remain top of mind. We've seen weather conditions also weighing on how the industries performed. The floods in the Western Cape comes to mind. So there we probably saw a bottleneck as a result of the floods in Citrusdal. So fruits arriving at the port altogether, or having to be channeled into alternative marketing channels. But I think there were mitigating circumstances that kind of offset those issues. And so the overall performance was good.
Zama, I know you've been deep diving in orange and juice prices, yeah, which has been a major factor in supporting orange prices. Where do things stand now?
So just to give some context, I think we've seen very elevated orange juice prices, specifically around 2023, and that was caused by a shortage in Brazil. So Brazil is considered one of the biggest producers for oranges, which are specifically targeted in the processing sector for orange juice. So there were issues there, like Marlene alluded, weather played a key role. They experienced drought conditions, and then they also had a disease case of citrus greening. So I think those two factors sort of put them in a position where they could not produce yields compared to what they did in previous years. And then that left a gap in the market for orange demand. So what we saw was some of these global, South Africa included, who have a market that is directed for producing strictly maybe or majority of them for fresh oranges, then started diverting some of that product for fruit juice production because of those attractive margins. So what we've seen, though, in 2024 is that price, those prices have come down. So that price floor that was created is coming down a little bit. But I think if we compare those prices to pre-2023, they're still pretty good. Madeleine, I'm not sure if you would like to.
Yeah, there's a saying in agri, the cure to high prices is up.
The cure to high prices.
Yeah. And so that's essentially, I think, what we've seen. So these really elevated orange juice prices, 2023, 2024. And then at the start of 2025, my expectation is that we saw a bit of demand destruction because of these high prices. So ingredient markets probably formulated to include cheaper alternatives, maybe grape juice or apple juice, where it's used in food manufacturing, or consumers simply opted for a cheaper beverage. And so prices have come down, but it's still higher than what we've seen pre-2023. Zama touched on that. So I think it's still going to provide price support over the coming season.
I find it so fascinating that something could happen in Brazil that would impact the price of orange juice in South Africa. We're so interconnected, eh?
Yeah. It links to Kenzie's point on indirect effects and how that sort of causes chaos in some cases, or opportunities, depending on where it's coming from. But I think we have a positive outlook for how the South African citrus season will perform in 2025. I think we have good production numbers. I think our port situation has also slightly improved. So I think there's multiple factors that support our South African citrus season. So we remain quite positive about that.
That sounds fairly optimistic, but are you worried maybe that the market is beginning to shift, or maybe even has shifted?
I think it has shifted. I mean, if you look at the distortion that happened between 2023 and 2024 for orange juice prices, we are seeing a little bit of softening in prices, like Madeleine has said, in early 2025. So that sort of influences producers or markets to move more into a fresh orange focused export programs, and because there's then that demand shift as well for orange juice prices. So I think that's some of the playouts that we can expect in 2025.
Zama, the one thing producers want to know, particularly South African citrus growers, what's in it for me? What does this mean for me? What's the impact you are expecting on them?
Positive. So like I mentioned, the market dynamics for 2025 are looking slightly better than they did in 2023 and 2024. You have that added layer of orange juice prices not being as low as they were perhaps in 2023. And if you consider South Africa, it's a major producer for citrus in the Southern Hemisphere. So I think we're still looking good.
Yeah.
Kenzie, we were talking offline before we came here. Your grandmother used to have a macadamia tree.
Yes.
And that was way before it became this high-value crop.
It's still standing. I was born, it was already a big tree. It's still standing. So the thing I find interesting there is that it's a legacy crop. It takes some time for production to come in the lines, but it can survive for a long time. So it's closer. It's one of the reasons why I chose the agricultural route. So I've always been keen for the trees and the livestock. So, yeah.
At the risk of giving my age away, but there used to be the song, Return of the Mac. Macadamia prices made a strong comeback in 2024. What signals are we seeing for the next season?
Perhaps if I can take it a step back, talking about robust industries, I would have to give it to this academia industry. As we unpacked, and it's a lot that I learned as we are interacting in our session, is that we are the largest producer globally.
What?
Yes.
Number one.
I didn't know that.
So we are a major, major player in this. And it was concerted efforts by the industry to respond. So they have been nimble in their response to changing consumer preferences, changing consumer trends, as they realize the benefits that comes with macadamia. So what we have seen over the years is that China has been, as we mentioned before, we leaned a lot on China. So their demand was high for nut and shell, macadamias. What I've noted is that production is expected to increase. But now the question is, how is China going to respond? And that has been the theme throughout our discussion. So we've seen early orders that usually are already in at this time of the year. The pace is really slow. So that is expected to impact the demand for those nightingale macadamias. So also to note there in the dynamic of China is that they have been building up stocks. They also have increased their production. So it's a flag to really monitor on that front. But what's optimistic, I think, for the broader industry is that the kennel industry is doing well. The ingredient market is matured fairly well globally. So there is demand, and I'm confident that our producers can respond in seasons to come.
William?
We are focused on exports, right? So I think locally or local dynamics plays a small part. Like Kenzie said, what is very encouraging is that we saw depressed prices in 2022 and 2023, but just the way in which the industry organized itself to open up new markets, develop new products, there's been a lot of developments in that regard, and that will support or provide price support into the future. I think the bigger story is there is volumes coming online. So be it from South Africa or from China, and in order to differentiate ourselves or to keep on playing in the markets that we are currently playing, again, quality needs to be top of mind. That needs to be South Africa's differentiator.
Are there any risks, though, that could slow recovery, Kenzie?
I think I've mentioned that it's a flag that we continue to monitor. So China continues to come through in a lot of commodities. We see that they're making efforts to really be able to feed their own people. I think it's a power move on their end. So, yeah.
And we'll be keeping close tabs on China.
Yes.
As we do on the United States and developments in the EU. Let's wrap up this conversation, Marlene, by focusing on table grape season. The 2024-2025 table grape season has mostly wrapped up. How did it go?
Yeah, so when we started writing for the autumn edition, this was really a joyous story. The markets in the first part of the season was red hot, if I can use an APSA term. So the reasons for that, I think the Northern Hemisphere, a lot of the producers, they concluded early, so the markets were empty. That really provided very good prospects for our early producers. So the Northern provinces and Orange River producers. I think that red hot prices cooled slightly as we moved through the season. So due to key competitors, so Southern American competitors, India, etc., coming into production. What however limited our competition, especially from India, and this is still at play as we speak, is this reignition of what's happening in the Suez Canal. So last year, this time, we talked about the disruptions to trade that the Houthis and their attacks on vessels in the Suez Canal is having on supplying produce out of the East into the EU. And it seems like that is the reigniting. So a potential issue to consider. So if India ships grapes into the EU, it now takes longer, it comes at a greater cost, so it affects their competitiveness and provides a potential window for us to perform better. But India and China has really expanded their production, and so this is something that we're flagging for the medium term, is the volumes coming out of these countries and how that is affecting our traditional export market. So India, we foresee, will become a major player. in the EU. And then China has recently gone from a net grape, table grape importer to a net exporter.
Sure.
They've also, we've seen the adoption of very good genetics there. So I think these two countries are really the two countries that you want to keep tabs on if you want to monitor market developments.
Are there any successes that stand out or challenges that you'd like to highlight?
So it's not related to table grapes specifically. I think the fruit sector in general has proven to be extremely agile.
Yeah.
So we've seen improvements in port performance, and I think that should be acknowledged. But we've also seen the industry being extremely nimble and agile to the challenges experienced in our logistical system. So whether it's using more conventional shipping or channeling volumes to Kucha instead of through the Cape Town port or even through Durban, we've seen a lot of that happening over the last couple of years. And I think that's the great success of the industry over the past seasons. And it should be commended and acknowledged. I think we are, I've said it before, we find it extremely encouraging.
And the outlook for the next season?
So I think that's still a way off, right? So we'll only start seeing what happens to grapes towards the end of 2025. But all in all, I think the outlook is optimistic. Watching what comes out of India and China will either be crucial, like beyond 2025 and 2026.
Thanks to APSA's Marilyn Low, Kensani Mashimbi, Zama Sangweni, and Ivor Price for that informative discussion on South Africa's high-value exports. Be sure to download the full APSA AgriTrends Autumn 2025 report for free at foodfromzanzi.co.za/AgriTrends. Don't miss the next episode in our series where we dive into the shifting vegetable market landscape.